This Dame called series in the biggest way yesterday. We can't wait to dive into that, but most importantly, all basketball talk, and we are just so happy to welcome y'all back to the Charles Little Podcast. Charles, I don't even know where to start. We have so much incredible basketball content today. Definitely going to dive into that. But then also, I just really want folks to really understand like how much you understand hoop and what the playoffs are, what they bring to the table. So, just Charles, let's bring us out east, man. Talk to me about, very quickly, Blake Griffin, man. How would you describe his effort and how the Bucks handled business against the Pistons?
I mean, he left it all out there. First two games, clearly, because, you know, he's got that knee issue. And, I mean, for a person that's had, he's had knee issues, you know, on and off his whole career. You know, you could tell, you could see in the last game, the way they had his leg wrapped up, that, you know, there's a ton of swelling and a ton of wrapping on his knee just for him to go. So that, you know, for him to go out like that and go out there and put that effort out there, even though they lost and they never really had a shot in the series. But, you know, that, to me, that, you know, that speaks to his, you know, his professionalism, first and foremost. You know, and his obligation and feeling, you know, this is his duty to go out there if he can give it a go. So, I mean, I tip my cap to him. You know, hopefully he'll be healthy to go by the beginning of training camp next year. I don't know if he needs surgery or not, but yeah, I mean, I tip my cap to Blake Griffin. He went down on the shield.
Yeah, we're spending a lot of folks. We got to talk about those who are going to be going fishing. But Charles, I have one question for you. Is Giannis Antetokounmpo the best player in the world right now?
No. As of the recording of this podcast, I have to say Dave Lillard is right now the best player in the world right now. But I picked James Harden as my MVP. I'm going to stick with that until they lose. I think the way Kevin Durant's been playing this week also has shown why, you know, he can lay claim to that spot as well. Like I said, James Harden's had the best season, but Kevin Durant's the best player in the world. He showed it all week, so I can't say that, no.
Is there any opportunity where you can make a case for Giannis at least to be potentially most improved, be defensive player of the year, and be the MVP?
Definitely. I think I don't know. I feel like wasn't last year his year for him to win most improved. I feel like because even last year he still averaged 26 or whatever it was last year. So I mean, it's like this jump from last year to this year was that much of a jump. Definitely should be up there in the top rankings for defensive player of the year, as well as MVP. So, I mean, he could definitely pull off those two. I don't see him getting most improved. Guys like Jaren Grant and my boy from the Clippers, Montrezl Harrell, guys like that, you know, should be getting more consideration because they've really made jumps as opposed to Giannis, I feel like, made his jump last year.
Yeah, no question with that. I mean, I think also folks are talking about my man Pascal. Obviously,
Siakam, oh, yeah.
Man, he looks incredible. He is going to be a problem. So in terms of, you know, you and I have been on the D'Angelo Russell campaign for quite some time. I kind of liked what they did with Brooklyn to get it rolling. But, Charles, as we put them, as they're going to be going home fishing, tell us about what you thought about the Nets and as we wave goodbye to them before the NBA playoffs continue.
I mean, they ran into a better team. They're a team that's strong, you know, at the guard spots, and they ran into a team that was, you know, that had size on them and bully balled them down low. It's always it's never a good proposition when the team's best player is at one of your arguable, you know, worst the spots that you're weakest at. So, you know, it's different if their best player, you know, the Sixers' best player was D'Angelo Russell's size, and it's just those two guys going at each other. But, you know, that's a comparable matchup, and you know, the Nets would get their draw from that from time to time. But if you got Joel going up against Jared Allen, you know, on a consistent basis, and that's their best player, like that's going to set the tone that you were losing, you know, at the very focal point of the series is to stop Embiid, and you have nobody to stop him. So, you know, from there it's an uphill battle. But, you know, with LeVert and Dinwiddie and D'Lo, you know, they got a good team. I think one of the things they got to figure out is how to play all three of those guys together. They all kind of do the same thing, but if they can figure out a way to get, you know, go with that three-pronged attack and let all three of those guys get loose, they might have something there. And they got cap space this year, so we'll see.
Man, I'm so interested. Do Durant and Kyrie at least take a meeting with them this summer? How do you see that going?
If they're doing their due diligence, they have to. I just feel like yeah, like I don't think as much as, you know, everybody, you know, obviously the Nets can never be the Knicks, but you know, I think Brooklyn's got its whole own little vibe and thing they got going on over there. So if I was a free agent, I would definitely give it a look.
I'm picturing Kyrie Irving, Caris LeVert, Kevin Durant. I mean, that's just say you let D'Lo go, knowing that you have Kyrie, right? You would be willing to let that situation kind of slide, wouldn't you?
I would rather have D'Angelo than Kyrie in that scenario. Kyrie hasn't shown himself to be too great of a team person right now. So that's one. He's much older. I think D'Angelo's 23 and Kyrie's 28. And Kyrie's had a history of knee injuries. So if I'm thinking long term and person I want to give, you know, a max contract to, while Kyrie's a better player, you know, he might be a better player next year. In 2 years, 3 years, are those stats, you know, those stats when that contract gets heavy, their stats, you know, even though this year their stats are pretty comparable, you know, on some level. I understand that we both agree that Kyrie's the best closer in the world, but D'Lo's not a bad closer himself. So, yeah, I don't think getting rid of a guy that's already on your team to sign another guy that pretty much same plays the same spot is worth the risk reward, I guess.
Wow, that's a hot take right there. But I mean, Kyrie could be home. I mean, it depends whether Brooklyn's having problems. I don't think they're having any trouble with selling out. I definitely see them on the rise. But I tend to think that if, as we transition, say Vic Oladipo was healthy, as we talk about the Pacers, and they're going to be exiting the playoffs as they just got swept by the Boston Celtics. We say that Kyrie was good with his teammates this time around. It's playoffs time, right? Like he said. But Charles, if Oladipo was there, don't you think things would be a little bit different?
It definitely would have been a different series for those guys. At the same time, they might have had home court advantage as well. So going into that series, so it's just, you know, obviously Oladipo, you know, being out and having your closer and your best player and the guy you depend on changes the dynamic for everything. The Pacers just seem to be outgunned. They knew it. Celtics knew it. And you know, over and you know, especially in the 7-game series, best team is going to find a way.
I think you actually have a little bit of love and respect for this team just because they're a little different. What would you be our parting gifts for the Orlando Magic from the East?
I mean, they can just drive to the beach. They're already on vacation. I mean, they put up a fight. They got that one game off the Raptors. They got some pieces, but they got one of the things that the guys that they're dependent on just aren't. They're, you know, they're good pros, but you know, how far are you going to get with Terrence Ross, you know, being the guy that you need to create buckets down the stretch? How far are you going with, you know, is Aaron Gordon a three man? Is Aaron Gordon a power forward? What is he? Vucevic can ball, but you know, what are you surrounding him with? I really like what I saw from Jonathan Isaac. He's just the fluidity and the feel he's got for the game. He's definitely got some potential. So, I mean, they made the playoffs, and that's, you know, that's good. You know, the owner got some more money in his pocket. The team got some experience. And, you know, they just started their vacation, you know, 2 weeks later than they normally would have.
I like how they're growing. We're going to see what's going on with Mo Bamba. I love Jonathan Isaac. I mean, maybe they could be a baby Philadelphia squad. What's going on with them, and like, maybe potential free agency and draft. Always Florida is always a good spot. Like you said, what's up with Aaron Gordon? What are you doing with him? Is he helping you in terms of both ends of the floor, or is it time to just make the switch and give some other folks an opportunity? But like you said, good to have playoff experience. There's a lot of folks who were at home. Kemba Walker, unfortunately, was at home. Dwayne Wade was at home. The New York Knicks and whatever they have as an organization continue to still be at home. So, yeah, as we want to make sure we get the fishing poles out for everybody in the East, I would say if Vic comes back healthy, maybe the Pacers are flip-flopping with one of these teams, depending how free agency goes. But, man, the East is thick, man. I think you and I agree is that, like, the Eastern Conference playoffs are about to start in a real, real way coming up.
Yeah, for sure. You know, my Raptors are still in it. I picked the Raptors to get all the way to the finals. It's going to be interesting to see what fight they put up, you know, what fight the 76ers put up. I saw an interesting stat today that Kawhi has never lost to the 76ers in his whole NBA career. I'm sure that's going to change this, you know, in this upcoming series, but it's definitely some interesting matchups. the Sixers, you know, they had the size advantage on the Magic. My bad. They didn't have the Magic on the Nets.
Yeah.
And, you know, Embiid, you know, they can throw Marc Gasol at Embiid, so he's not going to be able to just have his way down on the post. You got a, you know, former Defensive Player of the Year and him. You got, you know, you got Jimmy, who, you know, Jimmy versus Kawhi. Siakam, they could put Siakam on Ben Simmons. Kyle Lowry can guard JJ or whatever small guard they got out there. So it's going to be interesting. You know, Siakam can also, you know, Serge versus, you know, whoever they got out there at the four, if he's going to have to guard Tobias Harris maybe. So, I mean, there's some interesting matchups. You know, Danny Green's one of the best wing defenders in the league. So I think the Sixers are going to find it hard sledding to get some points at times in this series if JJ's not hitting shots. And they're going to find if the Nets had their ways of not guarding Ben Simmons, a team that's actually defensive-minded is going to have all sorts of ways to guard Ben Simmons. So be really interested to see how they adjust and how they cope with that. And not to mention, you know, what Toronto brings to the offensive end. You know, as long as Kyle Lowry's not scoring, you know, scoring 0 points like he did in game one, the Raptors should be okay.
They winning in five, bro. And I honestly want to pick a sweep. I don't see how Toronto or how Philly matches up with. They don't have enough shot makers for Toronto. You firing Brett Brown as the coach of the Philadelphia 76ers and making sure Monty Williams doesn't go anywhere if they lose?
Yeah, Brett Brown got to go. Brett Brown seems he seems definitely in over his head. Even like when the game gets tight, he just looks like he's a little bit lost. So yeah, they got to get rid of him. Definitely got Monty sitting on the bench. They almost have like first rights of refusal to Monty. So
sure, absolutely.
You know, I'm sure there are probably people in that locker room that respect Monty more than they respect Brent Brown. So yeah, I would definitely, if that was the Sixers, I would definitely be the move. But I mean, we'll see how this series goes.
I just don't. I mean, you may be right on that Toronto pick, dog, because you know I got the Celtics. But Charles, there's something about this team. They look long. They look together. I mean, as long as Kyle Lowry ain't going 0-9. You know, they should be all right.
I mean, think about what the Raptors are bringing defensively. They're bringing Marc Gasol, you know, former Defensive Player of the Year. Kawhi, former Defensive Player of the Year. Danny Green, first-team all-defense defender. Kyle Lowry is a very good defender. Serge Ibaka is a good defender. They just got guys on top of guys. Pascal Siakam could probably make an all-defensive team in the future. So, I mean, they got guys. They're just bringing in bodies, and everybody out there is, you know, they're a cohesive unit. They're all playing on the same page. It's a hassle to fly to Toronto. They got to go through customs and all this other shit every time they go up there. So they got that going. Drake's going to be at the game. You know, they got some good mojo going on up there. And I just think, like I said, they won the three games that Kawhi played this year. I think they won. Yeah, because Kawhi's never lost to him. So they won all those games. The times that I remember vividly watching the game, one game this year, and Ben Simmons is terrified to dribble in front of Kawhi because Kawhi took his ball like three possessions in a row. So that's going to be an interesting matchup because they can put Kawhi on him and totally take him out of the game. So I'll be interested to see if, like I said, if JJ and Tobias and those guys aren't making threes, they might find it hard to score. I would definitely say that, you know, in my heart, you know, this series, I wish I could say it that this, you know, this series was riding on Boban, but that's not the case. He's going to get he'll get his minutes and he'll amaze with his 8 points a game. This is a pro Boban podcast at all times. There'll be no Boban slander on here.
Yes, sir.
I like Boban so much. I started following his wife on Instagram just because I need more Boban in my life.
Tell us more about that.
It's a good follow, man. She seems like a nice lady, I guess. I don't know. I just be out here trying to get, if I can get some Boban, if I can get a behind the scenes Boban pick, I'm all for it. I support Bobby and Toby fully.
Let's get into some direct predictions. I think, well, let's just go with it. The Raptors, Sixers. I got Raptors in five.
I'll go Raptors in six.
You sure?
Yeah, I think they'll split. I just think, yeah, they're gonna manage. I don't know how. I don't know how the Sixers are going to get two, but they're going to get two.
I have a hard problem thinking the Sixers are going to get one.
I definitely think they're going to win one in Philly. They're going to win, like, I could see them winning game four. Yeah, they're going to lose in five. Never mind. I just didn't want to agree with you. I was trying to give them an extra game, but now five works. I'm agreeing with you.
Nah, we're on the same page because we can see this a mile away. I just don't understand how Ben Simmons is going to get them in their offense before 12 seconds left in the shot clock.
They might just stick Danny Green on them and let the bigger wings go deal with the other guys.
Yeah, this will be interesting. You know what? Tobias Harris and Embiid can give you a game. So out of respect for them, let's give them that. So, I think it's actually could have been the Eastern Conference Finals, but Boston wasn't doing what they were supposed to be doing earlier in the year. But here we are. I'm going Celtics in six, and I'm running away. Like, I'm literally the meme of Forrest Gump. I just said that, and I want to run like him away from that prediction. But I don't know if it's the fan in me. There's just something. If Brogdon's not ready and fully there, and Bledsoe and Kyrie is like, oh, well, you let Terry Rozier cook you, I'm going to do mad things to you. And I still think that Brad and Bud are closer from a coaching perspective. So the Giannis wins a game by himself for sure. The home crowd in Milwaukee just gets you a game. I think Kyrie can win you a game. I think Tatum, Jaylen Brown together can win you a game. And I just think Brad's going to figure out one game where they don't have Brogdon. And I'm just nervous that if Milwaukee's not missing their threes, Boston plays, they don't need to make threes to win. They still can win an 85 to 75 game, or they can win a 110-105 game. I'm definitely in the minority here, I know, but something's telling me Celtics in six. That's where I got.
I'm going to go leaning towards Celtics in seven, with Gordon Hayward outplaying Chris Middleton in the seventh game to make the difference.
Gordon looks good, doesn't he? He looks
really liking what I'm seeing from him. He's been playing more direct and more decisive. I think that's been a big boost to them. As multiple people have pointed out, Marcus Smart being hurt has fixed the rotation to where they don't have so many people in the rotation. So now it freed up to where Gordon Hayward can play, you know, 27, 28 minutes a game now. So it's been good for them. But I just think they'll push it, like, push it one more game. They'll push it back to they'll be down in the series, and they need to get that game in Boston in game six to push it back to Milwaukee. And in game seven, I'm going to go with Kyrie and those guys, because, you know, I've seen Kyrie do it in the game seven on the road before, so I'm going to lead towards him.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yes. I love it. All right. We're in agreement there. As we take it out to the West, Golden State and the Clippers have not played yet in their game five, as we're
it's currently over. Recording now. It's over. We can project. It's over.
So let's talk about the intricacies of it. Two things. Klay Thompson jumped in the ocean just because he thought he was, like, in a little slump. What's the craziest thing you've done over, like, being like, you just need some new juju, as you've been hoping?
I've just thrown away my, like, all my clothes. Played bad. Yeah, I played bad. I just threw away all my clothes. The braces, the socks, the underwear, the shoes. All of it. I played so bad in college once. I went and straight, like, left the gym and went straight and got a tattoo. See, even she thought it was funny. I'm trying to think what other weird things I've done. That was about it. I'm not one of those people that, like, has, like, horrible reactions to horrible games. Like I said, the most I usually do is change my shoes, or if I wore leg sleeves, don't wear leg sleeves the next game. If I wore short socks, wear long socks. So nothing ever too drastic.
Okay.
I have taken, like, a cold shower in my uniform too, so I guess that's the Clay equivalent.
Got you. So talk to me about what you think about Durant when he just kind of held court with the media and was, like, kind of explaining about their gimmick defense and stuff like that. Man, I thought it was real cool basketball talk, and that's what I want to see more of. I don't want to see burner phone Kevin Durant. Like, bro, we can just talk hoop. And speaking of podcast, hearing him on the Knuckleheads podcast, it was like, oh my god, KD, can you just continue to be this real, bro? This other, like, little fake, like, tough guy stuff, like, you know, preparing, you know, for the free agency and just making sure you're staying relevant, like, bro, come on now.
Yeah, but that, you know, as much as that's his obligation, that's the obligation of people asking him questions. You know, it's they're finally asking, you know, you ask him a basketball question, he seems to give you an answer. It's when they'd be asking him about all his free agency and all these other things that don't have nothing to do with basketball that he seems to be, you know, abrasive or whatever it is. So, yeah, I mean, when I've heard him talk, you know, speak on other podcasts before, he's been very open and candid. So, I mean, it's just like I said, that like they actually asked him a basketball question and he answered it like a basketball player, not, you know, not them asking him about the Knicks when he's in the middle of a playoff run. So, like, yeah. So, I mean, as long as they keep it basketball, I mean, it's fine. I mean, he's come out and you could see those things. And, you know, that's for people that don't understand basketball speak, is like, yeah, like, of course, that's what they're doing. You can see it. But, you know, it was good for him to highlight that. It was even better for him to come out on the court and dominate the way he has the last two games. He's the best, like, by my estimation, he's the best player in the world. So I just want him to go out and show it. If you can bust people's ass and you can score a will, just keep doing it. And it's so beautiful to watch him and so easy. And then the way he scores, all he's doing is shooting turnaround jumpers, you know, with ease. And it's a beautiful thing to watch. So as long as he's playing that way, the Warriors aren't losing to anybody.
Yeah, it's just a matter of whether he wants to get in gear and not. I mean, it shouldn't take Pat Beverly to get up, bro. Houston, P.J. Tucker going to be getting at him, too, because we're just going to assume the Warriors are in, right? They're going to handle their business tonight at the Oracle, and we're going to give Houston their win, too, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. And that remaining, it's almost like we would need to do a nightly pod to talk about each one of those games that are coming up, but in the meantime, as we just kind of want to get past for the first round here in out west, I don't know what's going to go on with the Spurs and Nuggets. Now the Nuggets are up 3-2. The Joker is doing his thing. He looks nice. A little disappointed in LaMarcus right now. Maybe they're going to force a game 7, which would be great for a 2-seed versus 7-seed. How do you think it's going to finish up?
I definitely think it's going to take them 7 games.
Okay, San Antonio's winning next.
Yeah. At their home gym, yeah, definitely.
It's a big one tomorrow. I think it's game 6. So, and then we would be looking at a Saturday game 7 and our game 1 starting on Sunday as well. I think it's been a heck of an effort. And this just show you, like I said, Popovich, like with anybody other group, would be – any other group would struggle. But or anybody else would – let me say this. Excuse me. This group with any other coach would be like, man, how the heck did we even get in the playoffs? And Pop has them within striking distance of an upset. Like, it can't happen. I think it goes 7 as well. But I think it makes Denver a little nervous if it goes 7 because none of those folks have been in that situation before. So it'll be interesting. Are you going Nuggets in 7 then? Or are you going Spurs in 7? Or Nuggets in 6? Well, you said already that the Nuggets are going to force 7. So are you going Nuggets in 7 or Spurs in 7?
Yeah, so I'm definitely thinking Nuggets in 7. I feel like the game 2 when the Spurs were up and Murray came and brought the Nuggets back in the fourth, that was their chance to really grab a hold of the series. So they blew their chance, and Nuggets have kind of seemed to figure some things out, put some things together. So, yeah, I'm going to lean towards, you know, that game 7 being in Denver and Denver being able to pull it out.
Well, all right. There it is. And then very tough subject for me to talk about because – okay, let me just give you a 30-second, like, diatribe of, like, how, amongst my friends, I'm considering it. Also, how I, like, play the game and coach the game. Like, I'm considered a very unselfish person. I put people in front of me all the time. It's so weird when people ask me, like, about who my favorite basketball players are. And when I, like, try to break it down for them, they're just like, wait, what? How are you saying this? Like, what do you mean, like, these are your favorite basketball players? And I catch myself is that, like, my favorite players are the ones who have a tad bit of I do me and, like, get with me or get with the program, and the program's my program. Specifically, I tried to give it like this. My favorite players to watch were Michael Jordan, obviously, Michael Jeffrey, Kobe Bryant. Number 3 is Russ for me, and then 4th was KG, and I have a tie for 5th, Chauncey Billups and Reggie Miller. 6 are Kyrie Irving, and 7 is Jason Tatum, which they could move up, depending if they get rings or not. For me, 8 is D Wade, 9 was Ray Allen, Jesus Shuttlesworth, and 10 is C Webb. And actually, I should tell you, tied for 10th was C Webb and Jalen because I combined both their college and pro careers. But like, when people are like, even though C Webb was one of the best passing forwards ever, is like, dude, my first 3 are a guy who hit his, who punched his teammate in the face, and who would and who was out golfing the where he was literally a different shade because he was golfing the night before game six. Kobe Bean Bryant, number 8, number 24, Colorado days, whatever. But he's also the dude, like, Smush Parker has no business being on the same team as me. And then 3 is, unfortunately, everybody is criticizing him right now. And I wonder if his people are just like, man, this is just so easy. Like, let's talk about the negative versus, like, this man is still a former league MVP of the league. And in 2016, he was 4 or 5 possessions away from going to the NBA Finals and beating a 73-win team in Golden State with Kevin Durant. And that's Russell Westbrook. And 11 of 30, yeah, it's not great. Another triple-double, people are like, well, you have to your stat stuffing. Like, I don't understand. I don't know if people understand how hard it is to do that in a basketball game at that level in the NBA. He's not just stealing rebounds, but this is also a person who led the league in assists 2 years in a row. Does he have some flaws right now? Absolutely. We'll talk about his inefficiencies. And it hurts because I didn't want to see this team go out like that. But good Lord, when you get swept in the playoffs like the Blazers did last year, there's a lot of soul searching. And I think Dame has just been incredibly in his bag where they were able to get back-to-back 3 seeds in the West, mind you. Another 50-plus win season. And I just knew after Russell got called with that charge that Portland's not losing. Let me read you this quote. Chris Haynes, Yahoo Sports, NBA senior writer, phenomenal writer. I can't recommend him enough. And then we're going to talk about The Athletic as well later on. But his quote, Dame had a private party for teammates and had some folks over, but he wanted to be uncensored for reporting purposes. And they said about 7 minutes go by, he's eating fried catfish, red beans and rice, as well as fried catfish, red beans and rice. And then all of a sudden, like several minutes go by, and then all of a sudden he goes, Dave just bluntly says that I'm sending these motherfuckers home tomorrow. I was like, oh my gosh. Like, I'm just picturing him saying it. Like, that was incredible. Charles, what did we witness last night? Positive for Portland, and I need you going to OKC diatribe, brother.
Dame Dagger. I mean, the shit is, it was a cold-blooded ass shot. I mean, he's done it before. You could sense it coming, and you know, I don't know what Paul George is doing. Like, he wasn't gonna drive by him. He was measuring him up for, you know, 7-8 seconds. And when he let it go, I mean, I don't know where Paul George is thinking that was a bad shot, because it's not a bad shot if, you know, if he took it, he was comfortable. He took it on his time, his terms. And I mean, there's nothing really to say. One of the unsung hero, even though he's the second best friend on the team, is when they were down, you know, 15, because Dame had missed a couple shots and OKC had went on a run. CJ McCollum hit a couple shots down, you know, that kind of brought that game back into within range for, you know, for Dame to do his thing down the stretch. Hard fought series. I would definitely have been exciting to see what would happen if Paul George would have been healthy. But I mean, it, you know, 82 game season, everybody's beat up. So I mean, the best team won. They were the higher seed for a reason. I don't feel like as much as everybody's trying to blame the entire thing on Westbrook. I don't think he played horribly in the series. Obviously, he didn't shoot the ball as well as he would have liked. But I mean, he was the one that when they got the lead, when they were down yesterday, he was the one that brought them back. And then when they got the lead, he was definitely part of the reason why they built that 15-point lead to begin with. So I didn't think he played too bad. He had some open shots he knocked down. So I mean, he wasn't guarding. What would have made things worse is if he would have been the one guarding Dame when Dame hit that shot. I think that would have been far worse. But I mean, he did all he could. I'm a Russ apologist. I love the way Russ plays. The one thing that's lost me is, you know, how his jump shot actually looks so good and never goes in. Like, when he raises up to shoot and the way he shoots it, I have confidence in his form, and it just never goes in. So that's one thing I can't reconcile, is how somebody with, like, pretty good shot mechanics, you know, usually when somebody can't shoot, you can kind of, you know, you can see what within their shot is, you know, what they can improve. And Russ has a good-looking form, and it just doesn't go in. So, I mean, you know, I think it would behoove me in my rooting interest for Billy Donovan to keep his job. But at the same time, you know, when does he ever get questioned about any of these failures and inefficiencies that that they run up on? Also, I think the front office has some questions they answer. I mean, they got Steven Adams making $27 million next year. And if Steven Adams is going to make $27 million, I don't, you know, it's not to knock Steven Adams. I think he's a very underrated player. But then I need you to not be getting outplayed by Enes Kanter. And I need you to be giving me, you know, damn near 17 and 10. If you're getting $27 million, you need to get 17 and 10. So we'll, you know, we'll see. And, you know, on, you know, the Blazers are on to the next round. So we'll see who they play the next round. I like their chances against the Nuggets. I like their chances against the Spurs. So, yeah, good for the Blazers.
Yes, sir. So is Billy Donovan gone?
No, they'll give him another year. Now he's on the hot seat.
And they gave him an extension, so it's like, what do you do with him, right? I mean, you gave him that year extension, but let me ask you this. If Paul's shoulder's not healthy, because you and I talked a month ago. As soon as we heard that there was any type of shoulder issues, we were like, that's a problem. You can't be. If he's healthy, do they win to 7 games?
I don't know. I don't like to talk about, you know, what ifs. But, I mean, if he's fully healthy, he's the best player in the series, not Dame.
Okay, we agree. So best two-way player. Just,
That changes the entire equivalent of that, you know, of that. And if he's healthy, is he able to guard Dame a lot better than he did? I'm not saying obviously a shoulder injury isn't affecting your feet, but you know it does affect how you contest and how hard you want to get in there and bang and bump people. So it's definitely a different series if he's healthy.
I agree. Does Russell come back next year with a vengeance? Does he have the capacity to change like his makeup? Or you think we're going to just see more of the same, and unfortunately we're going to see one of the best players of our generation not going to ring?
I mean, but what does he – like, he doesn't need to play any differently. He just needs to make shots. Like, every shot that he didn't – like, there wasn't a – like, other than the layup at the end of the game, I really don't – I felt like all those jump shots he took were in the flow of the game. They weren't forced. He just needed to make more of them. So, like, pretty much all he needs to do is this summer, in my opinion – is get his ass in the gym and fix it, get a shot coach or whatever he needs to do to become a knockdown jump shooter. Because, I mean, I feel like that little, you know, that little free throw line jumper he used to shoot, that used to be automatic.
Automatic.
He missed that, and he missed it time after time yesterday.
I don't think people realize, like from 11 to 16, Kevin Durant and Russell mid-range, it was automatic. It was a wrap. And this is not to make an excuse for OKC, but we know that Anthony Roberson is one of the five best perimeter defensive players in the world when he was healthy. They've almost not had him for now a year and three quarters, and they were planning on having him to kind of hide for Carmelo and his inefficiencies. Like right now, I mean, I like Terrence Ferguson. I think he'll be a 10-year pro. He's got to get in the gym and get some shots. I think Jeremy Grant was phenomenal. But, man, do you put Jeremy Grant at the five when, I mean, Adams is Adams, but just like you got to be able to switch and get on folks. Like, I don't know. I think Roberson definitely will help, you know, and then they have a pick next year. They have the 21st pick. I'm on the Kyle Guy bandwagon. Go get yourself another knockdown shooter who you can set around, because you have enough defense. That's clearly not the problem. And Kyle Guy at least knows some concept. I just think that that's me. I know it's the 21st pick. I know people may think that's an outstretch for Kyle Guy, but why not? Why not, right?
No, not right. I'm sure I can find a better option for them. I mean, they tried. They had Abrinas earlier in the year, and he didn't work out. Like, I mean, I don't think.
How many defensive principles are they teaching in Brian, though, Charles? Like, this man is coming from Tony Bennett. Like, that was good enough defense for Texas Tech.
Hey, he's not Texas Tech. Texas Tech ain't Dame Lillard on a switch.
I'm hit, but you're not going to switch your Kyle. What are you going to do? Go screen away with. You're not about to do a CJ Kyle Guy switch or a CJ.
What you're speaking to is Kyle Guy in three years. I couldn't imagine Kyle Guy in that playoff series yesterday. I couldn't imagine Kyle Guy being ready to play in a Western Conference playoff game six on the road next season. I don't care how many tournament games he played in. He's not going to be ready to play against Dame Lillard and CJ McCollum on the road in game six. As much as I'm giving Shamit and SGA credit, you know, for the battles they're putting up against the Warriors. Steph got those boys jumping all over the court. Like, there are levels to this.
I understand, brother. You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Kyle got, if Kyle, put like this, if Kyle Guy's the missing piece, then they have bigger problems than that.
And that's not what I mean. I'm talking about a ninth, eighth or ninth man, Markieff Morris. Like, bro, let's call it what it is. I love him like as if he's like one of my cousins. Roy Falter, getting Roy back and getting him a national championship, 05 swag, like, and Sean May and those boys and what they did in St. Louis and handled University of Illinois, I will never ever forget that. Ray was an amazing leader. Ray Felton was getting playoff minutes yesterday, bro.
Excuse me? No, thank
Ray you. Felton. Come on, man.
Yeah, that is a joke. Yeah, that is a complete joke. I mean, like I said, like, I get what you're saying. I'm just saying, like, I just don't think Kyle Guy, like, I get what you're saying, but they need a, with the problems that the thing that they have with the money they have invested into the team and stuff is their things are a win now predicament, and Kyle Guy is not a solution for the win now that they're in with all this money that they have tied up in Russ and Paul George.
All right, bro, you can tell I'm hurting in my voice, bro. We haven't even done the other part of the pot, so I don't know if there's any hope for our guys. I love PG and Russ together. I think it could be a great marriage. And you know what? You know what? Things change when the best player in a conference leaves. I think Milwaukee was like, Brown gone? I think Toronto's like, oh, Brown gone? Oh, yeah, we making this deal for Kawhi. Let's go. Milwaukee's like, all right, let's tool up. Let's go ahead and get these guys. And, you know, Toronto was like, let's tool up. Let's get Marc Gasol mid-year. Milwaukee's like, yeah, we can get rid of Thon because we got other folks. Let's go ahead and get a shooter like Mirotić who can help us. Even though Mirotić and Ilyasova don't have want nothing to do with Jay Tatum and Gordon Hayward. I'm going to just put that out there right now. But you feel me, though, right? Like, there's still some time, like, okay, so you should roll the dice 2 more years, right? At least another year.
At least another year. And, you know, yeah. At least another year, maybe if it doesn't work next year, get rid of Billy and then replace him and then give it 1 more year. But, I mean, those guys aren't getting any younger. So, you know, we've seen plenty of times where the windows, you know, we think these windows are going to last 4 or 5 years and they end real quick. So, we'll definitely see how it goes.
All right. Now that we have to bury OKC, the Thunder, for this year. I don't want to call it a lost season. I don't want to say it was a decent season. It was just, it was meh. Honestly, it was like dating before the Recplex and before the girls got different. It was like merch before Lowe's Fest. You know what I'm saying? And April's different. You know what I'm saying? Say they went, got into the second round. No harm in losing. Had they made the Western Conference Finals, you know what I'm saying? It's like March and it's 55, but it's really windy, meaning we can't really go outside in shorts, really enjoy the ghetto. But, man, it could have been so much more. It really could have been so much. There was a path to play the Golden State in the Western Conference. It was equivalent. The third and Sunday in April really cashed in. Done it with final. And, like, we're out here. You feel what I'm saying, Charles? Like, we could have been so much. This is not a stretch. I don't care what anybody. This is not a stretch. This is a comparison.
No, I'm with you. I had been saying for months that, you know, OKC was the one team that was going to give the Warriors a run for their money. And it didn't happen. It ended way, way, way earlier, so. All you can think of is what if.
I'm enjoying a glass of Faust right now. Credit to my in-laws for coming over for dinner. So the red wine is flowing. Very much appreciative of them and making sure that I'm dealing with my inefficiencies and coping. I'm coping with the Thunder being out. And I don't know what I'll do if Boston's out in a couple weeks because of President Brad Stevens and my love, Kyrie and Jason Tatum. Charles, that's all I got for basketball. I'm out of here, brother. Talk to me.
Yeah. I mean, we still got some time before these next series start. We got plenty of time to talk Rockets and Warriors once they finish up their series. So, man, it's just getting started. We got a whole 6 weeks to go. So, it's going to be a lot to digest, a lot to play out, a lot more great moments. So,
the playoffs are going to another level next week. They definitely are about to start in the Eastern Conference, and then we are about to get rolling. So, we out of here, brother. Tell everybody your Twitter, your Instagram, and give them your holler, brother.
@CharlesLittle15 on Instagram and Twitter. Make sure we share and retweet and all that good stuff. Yeah, man, playoffs are popping. Round 2's coming up. We'll have some good stuff for you, and we'll catch you next time. Holla.